Listening to Peach, Pear, Plum, a parenting podcast.
Peach, Pear, Plum.
Here we go.
Here we go again. We've had a break, but we've missed it.
I really have missed it. Yeah, so it's been a minute, but now we're back feeling a little bit, or personally, I feel kind of refreshed and excited to dig into a few more podcast episodes.
What number is it, Jen?
I think this is number 8?
I don't know. 7 or 8. Welcome to it.
Yeah. Hooray.
And the word we are exploring is?
Respect.
Respect.
So it feels off the top of my head when I think about respect. It feels like such a big topic. And if anything, in this moment, I maybe feel disrespect in some ways for some things. So it's healthy for me to examine respect. Yeah, it feels big. But you had an opposing thought.
You know, when I started thinking about it, I was thinking about children and helping them to learn respect. It came down to something so simple. So I'm like, I think we're going to be done in just about 10 seconds talking about respect. It is to treat others as you wish to be treated yourself.
Aww.
In a nutshell, it is. It's to ensure that everybody feels cared for and important.
Aww. That's so wise and appreciated. And I think I got a little bit too in my head when I was first considering our approach to this word. And then my kid and I checked out a Sesame Street episode. So thanks to Elmo and to you for making it real simple. It's one of those golden rules, say, to do unto others and to care for the people or things, the planet, to care for those things around us.
And I guess by adding that little D-I-S in front of respect, that makes it a bigger conversation.
It does. So we're going to let that piece just simmer, let it go. That's not really part of what we're examining. But thinking about respect and maybe how we share respect with our children, as you mentioned, how respect fits into a family, to family dynamics. Is it important? I feel like it is off the top.
I agree with you. And that's a tough one. As I watch the families that we work with, I find that children will model the behavior they see in a room. And actually, I find that children are instinctively very respectful, but they are watching the others, and especially their big people. So we have to remember that, and that's hard in family life because we sometimes speak more freely with our partners and our family members, and yet the children are watching us. Mm-hmm. So I guess the lesson for me is to speak thoughtfully and carefully, and then listen. And this is something else. Maybe I need to wait for a minute for you to finish your thought, but let's touch on listening and how that fits into respect, too.
Mm, it's so important. One of the biggest lessons about respect that I learned as a young person was when I was doing some Chinese medicine training and in clinical work. And you don't always love or really connect with or necessarily feel instant respect for every client that walks in the door. But my clinical supervisor invited me to think about the word as respect, to re-look at every person who comes in the door. So to drop my preconceived ideas or judgments, of course that's easier said than done, but in each interaction to come sort of fresh, to re-look at a person, to respect them.
I love that.
It's kind of beautiful. And I think in a family, it's important because we might think we know a behavior pattern or we know what someone's going to say or we know how a behavior is going to be. But if we can try to, with fresh eyes, meet that person, our kid or our partner or the families we interact with here, then it lends to a sort of instant empathy, you know, because if I instantly knew my kid was going to have a meltdown if he didn't get something, then that's sort of prejudging his reaction. Whereas if I respect him to give him space, let's say in this made-up example, to make a choice, he might really surprise me. So I have long since thought of that, the word respect, as the broken up bits, to re-look, to respect someone each time.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on to that one, especially with family. We were also going to, we were reminded by a coworker of the seven sacred teachings that are part of many indigenous cultures, that respect is one of those seven. So in the seven most important kind of teachings in their communities and represented by many nations, by the buffalo, who is big and strong, but gentle and thoughtful. So I'm going to think of the buffalo as well. I mean, it's, if you were going to make a generalization about an animal, you'd make it about a great, big, strong one. And yet the buffalo is gentle and giving in indigenous storytelling.
Cool to think of that symbolism and, just to be reminded of the gentle aspect of respect. So it also comes back to judgment for me, not jumping to a conclusion, to go kind of slow and carefully and watch and be gentle.
So we can sum up what we've just said with pausing before looking and embracing the tiny gentle creature inside of all creatures. And then listening, I think listening, which doesn't fit into the looking, but listening. And that this is a challenge for me, but yeah, taking a moment to hear people.
I love that. Was it a song or a story about everything you need to know about life we learn in kindergarten? Or maybe we learn from Sesame Street. So
from Elmo.
Thanks, Elmo, for reminding us to do unto others and to treat people with care and to make them feel taken care of. And it strikes me that parenting is essentially a job of respect, or maybe ideally it will be. Not every moment of my parenting.
We're going to speak to some people in this podcast about respect and how they see and feel respect. I was just thinking of something that may come up in those conversations, but something else that I read while I was researching the word was that respect starts with ourselves. So, and this is something I parent a teenager right now that I really hope that she feels, but it's a hard thing to teach a teenager because they struggle so much with how they feel about themselves. But if the world sees you respecting yourself, and if you really do, is it easier to ask for respect, expect respect, and to be respectful? What do you think, Jen?
I think raising a teenager must be hard. And I'm glad we're talking about things like that now so that I can gear up.
Because you're going to be there. Yeah.
And I think respecting ourselves first is a good place to start. So how about we head out into the world and each chat with some parents and get their perspective on respect.
Now I'm asking for a little respect when you get home. Oh, baby, when you come home.
As Nicole and I headed off in our separate directions to interview parents who inspired us, I knew exactly who I wanted to talk to. This Kootenai parent had long since caught my eye with her ability to juggle her work in the community, her raising a daughter who has had some medical challenges, her adherence to her own sport and physical activity for her mental health and well-being, along with some massive fundraising benefits our community.
My name is Andrea Purcell. I've been living in the Nelson area for almost 30 years. I started work in this area as a youth worker that was autistic and special needs kids. Then I went on to work with the Ministry of Children and Families as a social worker, and now I am a team mom. And that's my job, and I take care of my family with a daughter that's 12, husband, has 3 dogs until December, and now I have 2 black labs.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I do.
I respect that you are out running and thinking this morning. Good on ya.
So I run for my brain.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be a very good parent.
Huh. Whew. That is a wise and potent statement right there, hey? It's that the things that we do sometimes are just kind of so that we have that time for ourselves, so we can be more focused and be a better parent.
Oh, yeah. I was out running. I wouldn't be able to be the parent I am.
Yeah.
I need my physicality 1,000,000% to be a parent.
Wow.
I needed it before.
Yeah.
It's only made it more relevant. Why?
Wow.
This is going to be our last year. This will be my daughter's 10 years anniversary since she had her brain tumor removed, which is why we did it, to raise money to pay it forward for that. So we are hoping, by the time we're done, this is our goal of October, November, not by then, so that will be 10 years, November the 11th, is we'll pretty much, I think, be on the cusp of 100,000.
Wow. Wow, wow. It's got a little shiver. That's a really big number for any kind of fundraising, let alone beer cans and pop cans and stuff.
We've done 2 Facebook auctions for friends of the family, and we'll do 1 more for closing. And, like, the key part to it, though, is without our community, we would have raised nothing. So the community behind me that donates the stuff that we've done, our silent auctions, or if they were going to do 1 more,
yeah.
And all the cans and empties that get dropped off, you know, without everyone continually contributing, none of that money would have been raised. That money is from the community and stays a lot in the community with Nelson Friends of the Family. You know, some does BC Children, you know, but in my family, have this incredible gift that, sure, my daughter had a brain tumor and she was 3. Sure, it was, you know, life-threatening and life-saving when they did her surgery. Sure, she has long-term issues that we never understood was there until, you know, by grade 2, we were becoming more aware that there was stuff coming up. Like, it's like, we got stuff, you know, just got neuro challenges, broad spectrum, got executive functioning stuff. For self-regulation, self-monitoring are very, very low. She has a number of learning disabilities. She has mental health stuff with anxiety and depression, multiple anxieties. And, you know, so, you know, I know that, you know, as much as those are hard, I have her. And I have to remind myself constantly that there are so many people I've met along our journey over these last 9 years that don't have their person still, or their child, or their youth. And I am constantly grounded and reflected upon that even though those things are hard daily with my child, I have a child.
Wow. Wow. So potent. Yeah, that gratitude that even though there are ongoing challenges, that you have your daughter still.
Yep.
Whoa.
I can't lose sight of it. How could I?
I have long since held you in my mind as someone who was really, like, keeping it all together and going forward and sort of motivated despite things going on. I remember a time we saw each other at the pool, and it was 10 years ago. I just adopted my kid, and he was a baby. I was so in the fog and the thick of, like, oh, my God, this is so hard. And I saw you, and you were going through the cancer treatment with your daughter, and you were upbeat, and you were optimistic. I mean, perhaps in that short time at the pool, I didn't have clarity into the way your heart ached that day or whatever. How can we ever know? But just you motivated me in that moment to kind of buck up. Like, these are just my words that I'd use to explain. And I just really respected your kind of attitude to, you know, to facing these challenges. What keeps you motivated?
My goal in life, through my education, prior to having my daughter, everything has always been like to be better in our world, to leave the world better than when you came, and making those changes, and making the possibility to do good in our world. You know, like, I'm always trying to be kind to people, you know, to try to help when you see it, and be present, and just be what you might want someone to be for you. Be that for that person.
Oh, beautiful. To be that change in the world, and to try to live our life making the world a better place.
That's all we can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can do. And that's being present, that's being in the moment, and being real. Real is a huge thing to me. I love real people. I love people that can learn from mistakes, that can grow, that are giving, that, you know, can have insight, compassion, empathy, like all those words you can sort of throw out. When you're real, you have all of that. Just to know that you can make a difference in someone's life. I guess that's the fundamental of it.
Yeah.
Just to make a difference.
The next question I had on the list was, who or what do you respect?
That was one I sat hard and thought, maybe think about. I think it's open-minded. You know, comes back to these people that are giving, open-minded, put their needs often before others, you know. I have my parents have taught me, you know, how to be volunteers in the community, to be, you know, generous in your time. Always been something that I've just done and not known anything different of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, made me look at, is it an ability? Is it a quality? Like, is it an achievement? Like, what do I respect? Who do I respect? You know, and I always will tell people that I admire people that are here to help people grow and help other people reach their goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I end up coming back to over and over and over again is, so people that are there genuinely just to help people. And then it comes down to basic. It's just about love and being present and being focused on the greater good.
Thinking about respect in that context, like people who are, you know, meet the world in a loving, sort of open way and are wanting to be helpful. And I guess what it makes me think of is someone who wants to be part of a community. Do you think respect is important in a family? Like, do you expect your child to respect you, or do you respect your child? I mean, I'll probably imagine your answers, but that was something that we're playing with the word respect, is where does it fit into family? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's like, for me, with family, it's accepting, like, my daughter, who she is and what she is.
Mm.
I change her. I can't change her. I can only encourage and support her to be the person she can be. I just want them to feel safe, be who they are, and the ability to be themselves and express who they are. As it being through their job, through sport for my daughter, through whatever it is, I have to be there and look at, you know, believe in the higher thing that, you know, for their well-being, for whatever it is, I have to be respectful of them.
Wow, so what comes up for me listening to you is that respect actually pulls in acceptance and gratitude and understanding. Like, it's all sort of all these pieces. And I love that thought.
It is. It has to. You can't separate them, because they're fundamental to be together. And, I mean, you know, I can't change who my husband is.
Hmm.
I can't change who my daughter is.
Hmm.
It's how do we work together with who we are. And so I've had to come to, like, respect all of that that's gone on. I can't change what has happened. All I can do is go forward with it and move forward and continue on that path and not dwell on what would have been or could have been, but what can be. You know, the one thing that was funny that I didn't talk about that was really important to me, though, when I was running, I was thinking about is the one thing I've struggled with, about all of this, it was really weighing on me when I was running it. My daughter struggled in the community. easy with people respecting and understanding her needs and how she gets bullied and how other families are and how peers are, how people don't do well with people with invisible challenges like she has.
Uh-huh.
That is something that I really was profound with me when I was running this morning, that it is where and how does that change? Because she continually, almost daily, runs into it, being with professionals, other parents, peers, where they don't understand her. And in turn, there's immense conflict and be bullying or be challenges or different things. And it's very, one of the hardest things I manage as a parent. People yeah. don't have insight into what trauma is and how people respond. And I'm dealing with a child who has trauma.
Yeah.
And, you know, through attachments, through, you know, you understand probably circle of security being bigger, stronger, and wiser.
Yeah.
Every day I have to be bigger, stronger, and wiser than my daughter.
Yeah.
And to help guide her, to make her feel safe and trust in, you know, her well-being in the world, because the world is not showing her that. It's attachment through relationships, being a calling your best friend or something, or whatever, for our husband, it's all relationship-based through attachment. And it's what we do, and my job as a parent is to always have my hands ready to be there to hold my daughter.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that for your daughter and for the community, and in general for the community. Thank you. It was really nice to chat. And hey, I'd offered you an opportunity to, if there was anything else you wanted to brag about or tell us about, but maybe we touched on it already with the fundraising stuff off the top, but I'll turn it over to you. Is there anything else you're excited about or wanted to share?
Well, I think I would say is that I brag that my daughter gets up every day and faces the world that she feels challenged by most days and still gets up out of bed even when it's hard and gets up and faces her challenges every day. Most often fairly positively, sometimes pretty hard, but she still does it. So I give her that.
Mad respect. Just a little bit. Woo! Just a little
bit. Hi, Catherine. You and I have known each other for many years, and I invited you to speak on the podcast that Jen and I produce with Kootenai Kids. We're exploring the word respect today. So I wanted to ask first, you just to tell me a little bit about maybe who or what you respect.
Well, for me, respect is something that I hold for a number of people that I know personally and also just through familiarity. And to me, it means honoring other people's activities, their opinions, their rights to be who they are, as well as the experiences that they've had going about their daily lives or things that they've taken part in. So for me, it's a lot about honoring, admiration, understanding, and it might not be somebody that I necessarily agree with that I respect, but I also might appreciate the efforts that they've undertaken to get to where they are in this world.
Thank you. If it's somebody that tends to hold things a little close, how do you feel like you can see or sense respect? Some people are really open and they share how they feel about things and how they see the world. But what about those people that hold them a little closer? Does that make it more difficult?
No, I wouldn't say for me. I don't like to use the term, but I do find that I am an empathic person, so I can feel energetically if there's some like an individual or a group of people that I respect because I resonate with the way that they make me feel personally. So even if it's not something that's extremely vocalized, if it's somebody, for example, that pays for groceries for somebody ahead of me in the line, I might have some respect for them because they've gone out of their way to do something kind for another person, but they didn't have to vocally say, hey, guess what? I'm going to pay for your groceries today. They just did it as an act of kindness. But for me, I would respect that they took it upon themselves to do something in a generous way for somebody that they don't know, and they didn't have to vocalize that they were doing it. just like somebody that might stop for a dog that's running across the road on the highway. That's a sign of respect for the animal and for the people that may own them. So I don't necessarily need to see or hear somebody vocalize that they've done something good or that they're strong of character, but just that energetic feeling really resonates with me.
Really, the reason why I wanted to speak to you about respect was to hear your feelings, but also because when I think about respect, and especially parents that I know, I really respect you.
Thank you.
And that's for so many reasons. And so I wanted to maybe talk just for a little bit about how the way you feel and see respect has shifted since you've become a mother. Has it?
It definitely has. I have tremendous respect for other parents, particularly parents of multiples. I'm the mom, one of two parents of identical triplet girls who are almost 3 years old. And it can be quite difficult to get through the days with a level head without saying stop a million times. And so I really respect other people that have multiple children, either twins or triplets, or even that are within a year of each other. It takes a tremendous amount of energy. And I really respect other parents in general. It's quite a lot that we take on as being parents and as being guides in this world, helping to navigate the strangeness that we encounter as adults every day, let alone for the little people that we're trying to guide. And I also have tremendous respect for, you know, educators outside of ourselves as parents. So teachers, people that run play groups like what's offered at Kootenai Kids, people in the medical field, just really anyone that's involved with parenting, I have a deeper respect for, absolutely, since becoming a parent.
And what about, you're welcome to guide this conversation as much as I am, but I'd like to keep things positive as well. But
yeah.
How about things that you respect less or don't respect? Have those things shifted since you became a mom?
They have. My tolerance for people that don't have respect, I guess, is the nicest way that I can put it, for others has really grown and intensified. So I have difficulty with people that may say one thing but act in a different way, or whose values shift quite quickly without having a strong explanation behind it. I wouldn't say disrespect, but again, I would say it's a lesser level of respect for people who don't take the time to recognize what parents are going through. You know, I remember being on a plane years ago going over to Indonesia, and there was a family on the flight and they had a newborn child, and it screamed and screamed for 12 hours, and I just wanted them to be quiet. But now in retrospect, I would have more respect for them now knowing that I have the girls. So just, yeah, people that have lesser tolerance for others, it really kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. But I am conscious that everybody is walking their own path, and my aspects of respect shift on a daily basis, of course, just given moods and attitudes and everything like that. But yeah, I definitely do find that there are situations where my energy shifts and I'm not as respectful or as mindful as I may be. But it just depends on what's going on around me and what's happening with the girls if I'm out with them. So
respect within a family unit. This is a big one. And I mean, you have a partner that you parent with, and you have three toddlers. How does respect play out in your own family life?
It shifts again hourly, daily, monthly, annually, with the girls being so active and changing so much right now. I find that I do seek more respect from my partner and from those that are supporting us without actually saying that I'm needing their respect. But I do like to have some acknowledgement of the role that I'm playing, being the primary caregiver and kind of the role model, if you will, in their daily lives. So I seek that non-verbally, but I also do give it as well. I openly acknowledge the role that my partner, my husband, plays with being the quote breadwinner by going out and working in the business that he's in for full-time hours and then coming home and supporting me in the house with the girls. That means a lot to me, and I definitely respect what he's doing. I also respect the way that my parents raised me and my sisters when we were growing up, and I try to instill some of those values that I hold strongly from that time and try to impart them with the girls. And for the girls, I also respect their right to their individuality. Even though they're identical, we're really trying to raise them to be separate people. And I respect that they have mood changes and energy shifts and emotional needs just the way that I do. And I sometimes have to put aside my ego and my need for respect from them, be it verbal or nonverbal, mostly nonverbal because they're almost three and not really talking. But I do respect them as individuals and what they're coming up through and how they're going to be in the world. So I want to give them that opportunity to learn respect from a very early age. So how to receive respect and also how to give respect.
You and I have been coworkers and we're mm-hmm. friends. Mm-hmm. And those are two ways that remind me of the respect that I feel for you. And one of the things that's been ever present in the years we've been friends is that I've respected the way that you didn't and don't bury or hide some events in your life that many people choose to keep quite private, that you've been able to share those with me and with our friends. Do you think that has helped you to interact respectfully and to receive respect from the people in your life?
Thank you for mentioning that, Nicole. Yes, I do. I've really had to learn how to open up and share events that have happened. You know, one that particularly stands out, as you know, is our daughter Ivy was stillborn at 5 months, and it was quite a traumatic, emotionally wrenching experience. But from it, I also learned to respect that I needed to share our story because it's Ivy's story. And it also will help other parents, other mothers, other partners, other family members in the future be able to understand what it means to go through a pregnancy loss and how to respect and honor that experience. It's part of many people's experiences with fertility and with childbearing. And it's something I think that gets glossed over a lot of the time, and it's quite hard. So by being able to articulate my experience and hold it in such a way that I am, again, probably not directly, but asking for respect and understanding and just saying, like, you know, I can't come out today. I'm having a really hard time. I'm, you know, thinking over things that happened with Ivy and I just need some space. Or if somebody asks, for example, you know, with the girls, if I have any other children, I will honestly say, yes, I had a miscarriage because I did prior to conceiving Ivy. And then we also had Ivy because I need to respect Ivy and our previous child's existence, as well as to give the other person the opportunity to respect that this is my experience and I'm not going to hide behind it. So I think definitely my previous experiences and being able to share them helps me to allow respect to be given. It also gives me the opportunity to show others that respect can be given for situations that might not necessarily be what they would consider to be a respectful interaction, if that makes sense.
It so does. And thank you for articulating that, because, yeah, it's definitely been something that I've watched and learned through knowing you as long as I have.
Thank you.
Is there anything else? I'm just going to pause here and leave some space in case there's something that's resonating for you in our conversation that has been left unsaid.
Well, the funny thing that I wanted to share is when you asked me to think about respect, I just kept having the Aretha Franklin song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on loop in my head. And I just thought how interesting that was, that in pop culture, you know, back in the 60s when women were really fighting for respect and honor, that that was kind of an anthem. And so when you say, when people say respect, that's one of the first things that pops into my head is that song. And I thought, how interesting is that?
I promise you that you will hear snippets of that song throughout this podcast when we're finished.
Awesome.
thank you for taking a few minutes today.
My pleasure, Nicole. Thank you for having me on.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Take care.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Nicole. Nice to chat with you again.
Let's reflect on respect. After listening to our guests speaking about respect, what is really staying with me is, well, in particular, Andrea speaking about the respect she has for her daughter and how important that is for her to be the bigger, stronger person in that relationship. And, you know, you and I didn't talk so much about that. We did touch on respect within a family unit. What about respecting your child? Did how you feel about that change?
It really made me realize that respect that I thought was a big topic is, as we chatted about, actually pretty darn simple. And yet, tricky in that it's actually about attachment in some ways, especially in the parent-child relationship. So yes, respect is vital in a family, and it creates empathy, and when there's good attachment, it leads to understanding and a bit of kind of like freedom, or like trusting, honoring who your child is as an individual human. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So in some ways, our conversations with the parents that we had made me realize that respect is actually quite simple to do. You know, to treat others how we want to be treated, and to approach with kindness and an empathetic look at who that person is. Our kids are going to be terrible to us sometimes, but if we can try to hold that respect piece, it might keep us from, in my own world at least, erupting into an anger space. I realize a parent respecting their kid is so far from maybe a 1950s approach of like kids are to be seen and not heard, mm-hmm. and, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child, all that. But man, is it ever important.
I'm so with
parental you. Parental respect for a kid. We might not name it that way always, but it has to be there, or it's going to be a pretty tumultuous ride.
I thought so much about my parents' generation as parents, and so very much what you're thinking. Like, for them, I think it was about feeling pride in your children and feeling, proud of their successes and all these things that sort of pushed us to perhaps be something we weren't. Whereas now we're hearing Andrea and Kat and ourselves saying, oh, wow, let's not come to these family relationships with the preconceptions. When you spoke a few weeks ago about re-looking, is that how we were speaking about it?
Yeah, breaking respect down into actual root words, to re-look in each circumstance, so not prejudge.
So, and with family, that's so hard, but that's what it is. It's like to be in the moment and just all of the things that make us so grateful for our family are right there in front of us, right? If we can just stop and drop the things that we bring, you know, our own baggage, drop all of that and just respond to what's happening in the moment.
Yeah. It made me realize that a lot of respect is about listening, being quiet in a way, like in a moment, you know, and really seeing what's going on. So man, is that ever hard with parenting in a lot of circumstances. Pretty important to have a authentic relationship with your child.
And to go back to Andrea speaking about how fortunate we are just to be able to be blessed with this gift of being parents, hey?
Absolutely.
Just a little bit.